Good morning, Texas. This is July 4th, if I have the program signed up here correctly. So this morning I thought we would look at liberty. We'll look at liberty in Christ and the liberty that we used to have in America was surely based on the liberty of Christ. So let's just get right into this as we always do. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. One of the goodnesses of God is the fact that he has created this liberty to those of us who put our faith in him. Now the Lord is that Spirit, it says in 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Marvelous, marvelous. What a cup of goodness to learn about it. That's the liberty in Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. One of the things that we recognize, or I recognize, when I learned about Paul's teachings of an arisen Savior, and to learn about the details of the liberty that Christ hath made us free, I realized that I have probably come up with more enemies than I've ever had. I mean, it's bad enough in this country, in this world, to talk about Jesus. You know, people just don't want to hear about that. But there are a number of people that are willing to put up with that still. There are a number of people that enjoy being what they would call a Christian based on the love of Jesus or however they want to say that sort of a thing, otherwise known as religion. But when I start talking about the risen Jesus, Jesus Christ, the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. In the liberty. Now, opposite liberty comes bondage. And the law is bondage. In fact, Romans 2:16, where it talks about, I keep mentioning that verse. You probably should look it up here. Let's read that thing. Romans 2:16. I'm not sure people realize this either. 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So yes, Jesus Christ obviously will be the judge, but he's going to be using not his teachings to the Jews, but his teachings to the Gentiles through Paul, which is my gospel, but Paul says. Hear it again. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by, of course, Jesus Christ according to my gospel, that's Paul, according to my words, what I have said. So we will, our judgment seat in Christ, get to talk about those judgments one of these days here. Fantastic things. So, we don't have a law that we have to live by. Really, we don't. Now, first thing people are going to say is, well, then you can just go out and kill somebody. That's what they always say. No, let me show you some things here this morning. It's called five strings attached to our liberty. And these strings could be attached to the same thing with America's liberty. So what I was saying here was opposite of liberty is bondage. And Galatians 2:4 says, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. What a verse. That tells us the enemy that we have, that tells us the enemy that America has had. And that because of false brethren, it's not just false people, it's people who say they're brethren, false brethren, unawares, people don't know this is happening, false brethren, unawares, brought in, come in from the outside, who came in privily to spy out our liberty. That was, they came in, they couldn't stand the liberty that we had, and as Christians, which we have in Christ Jesus, that's the risen Savior, Christ Jesus. That's not Jesus teaching to the Jews during the Gospels. That is Jesus teaching to the Gentiles after he has risen through Paul. And their goal is to bring us into bondage. What's happening in America? We are blowing our liberty. And as a result, we are coming up with laws and more laws and more laws and more laws again. America's going back into bondage. Same thing with a Christian. Those that are truly in Christ have his liberty. Now, what's happening in our churches and our pastors and preachers and missionaries and teachers and parents, the whole thing, are putting us back into the law, back into bondage. Now, Romans 2:16, that is not telling us that we're going to we have to live by Paul's rules. That's not what this is all about. Paul's teachings can be just as much bondage as Jesus' teachings in the Gospels or the teachings to Moses can be all bondage, and it doesn't need to be. Before I show you the five strings attached to our liberty, let me read you a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians 6:12, I'll just read you part of it. It says, "All things are lawful unto me." All things are lawful unto me. All things are lawful unto me. 1 Corinthians 10:23, "All things are lawful for me." All things are lawful. How can that be? How can that be? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 4. I've quoted this verse a number of times. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. The law still exists, but not for those that believe. Really. And then Galatians 2:19. Let's hear those pages turning. Galatians 2:19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I'm dead to the law. Now, you're dead to the law. Now I can live unto God. Now I can learn how to please God. And that's what Paul and his crew is all about. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Romans 3:28. Pages are flipping, as mine are. Romans 3:28. "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Romans 4:15. "Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression." So if Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, where no law is, and there is none now for those that believe, there is no transgression. Look at Romans 5:13. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." Again, Romans 10:4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness." Look at Romans 6:22. "But now, being made free," see, we haven't stopped doing the wrong things, but we are made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and to the end everlasting life. See, people tend to think that the differences in the Bible really isn't that big a deal. It's like, whatever. Well, being set free from sin or being made free from sin, huge difference. I think you would understand. I think you'd have to agree with me. I am made free. Again, takes us back to Colossians 2, verse 11 through 16. Talk about the spiritual circumcision of Christ. He has made me free. He imputes his righteousness to me, Romans chapter 4. Okay, let's keep going. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." There it is. Made me free from the law of sin and death. Marvelous, marvelous. Now, those are just some introductory verses that talk about the end of the law. Those are a couple of verses that talk about the fact that all things are lawful. If I've been made, all things are lawful unto me. All things are lawful for me. If I'm made free from the law of sin and death, then all things are lawful unto me. That is a logical conclusion. But there are some strings attached to these. Not that you cannot lose your salvation. But we have to remember that we can grieve the Spirit of God. We can quench the Spirit of God. Okay? So, what is it that we would do that would do so? If all things are lawful unto me. Well, let's read the rest of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Let's read the rest of that verse. "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." Oh. Expedient meaning the right thing to do. This is the right thing to do right here. Yeah, I can do anything. All things are lawful unto me. But all things are not expedient. But what I want to do, I really shouldn't do. So I have this liberty. All things are lawful unto me. But you know, not everything I want to do is expedient. It's not the right thing to do. Which takes us back to Romans 2:16 again with Paul. If we look to Paul's manner of life, which one of these days we'll talk about here, Romans 2:16, that we will be judged by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, our judgment seat, remember, our sins are no longer imputed. We just have good works or bad works. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you know, the judgment seat of Christ. This is the judgment that will be put upon the Christians who are truly sincere Christians, and their works will be judged, not themselves. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Is it of Paul's teachings or not? Romans 2:16. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire. So, all things are lawful unto me. But you know, not all things are expedient. And if I do some things that are not expedient, they don't fit, you know, Paul's manner of life as such from the risen Savior, it's not the right thing to do, then it'll burn. Right, it'll burn. You won't, but the work you did will burn. Then it says in that verse, 1 Corinthians 6:12 again, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, there's some things that you do that you just can't stop doing. That means you're not in control of yourself. That means in Romans chapter 6, we are choosing to follow the sin that's in us. And we can't help ourselves. We're addicted to it. Romans chapter 6 talks about those things here. Know ye not, Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. See, before we were spiritually circumcised, we really had no choice. Whatever we did, we were attached to our sins. We were attached to that death. Now he says in verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So now we choose. We choose. Do we choose the right thing or we choose the wrong thing? If there are some things that we do that we know are wrong, based on Paul's teachings, and we just can't stop ourselves, that's not good. But we have that addiction. Seems like we're all addicted to something. TV, which wastes our time, pollutes our mind, evil communications, corrupt with good manners. The food we can't stop eating, the drugs, the alcohol, the smoking, all these different things that hurt our bodies and give a bad testimony, da-da-da-da. Can we do those things? Yeah, you can. All things are lawful. Well, but not expedient. That's true. Maybe some of them... You know, who knows? But listen, if it brings you under the power, then it's still going to burn. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Can you stop eating too much? Can you stop those midnight snacks? Can you stop that cigarette smoking? Can you stop the alcohol drinking? Can you stop drinking those big gulps? Can you stop snacking? What are some things that you just can't help yourself do? Well, all things are lawful, so what's the problem? Well, the problem is you're not supposed to be brought under the power of that thing. Right? That's what it says. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, we see the first part repeated, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Then it says, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Edify, teach, encourage. Put forth a positive growth. Maybe some of the things that we do in our liberty, they're just not edifying. Edifying to who? Well, body of Christ, for one thing. Does it edify your testimony to other people? We'll get to that in a minute here. So we've got three strings already. All things are lawful. We've been over the law. Why all things are lawful. We understand that. I hope you understand that. We have a liberty. It's a fantastic liberty. We're supposed to stand fast in that liberty. But we also know there are people out there that are, they've come in privily to spy out our liberty, and they want to get us back into bondage. So the things that they can do, they can get us to follow our flesh. They can get us to do things that aren't expedient. They can get us to do things that after a while we can't stop ourselves from doing. And we can get into things that there's no edification, and there's no growth, there's no teaching proper, there's no fulfillment of positivity. There's a good word for you. Those are three things. Let's go to Galatians 5:13. Flip those pages, Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not the liberty for an occasion to the flesh. For an occasion to the flesh. Now remember, we have flesh. We're still inside our bodies, but we are still cut away. But according to Romans chapter 6 and Colossians 2, we still can, in Romans chapter 7, we still choose sometimes the things that we shouldn't be doing. And that's the flesh. That sin still has the flesh. Remember what Paul says in Romans 7? When he says, now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That sin dwells in our flesh. Romans chapter 7, verse 17. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, he says, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present within me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. How many times do you want to do the right thing, but you just can't get yourself to do it? See, there's one of the admissions that people need to realize as Christians, that, you know, Christ is not expecting us to follow his footsteps and walk sinningless as he did. This is the dispensation of grace. This is the best dispensation of all. By our faith in Christ, we receive Christ. By our faith in Christ, we receive the faith of Christ. By our faith in Christ, we receive his righteousness. And Paul teaches us that, listen, now that you're free, now that all things are lawful unto me and you're free from sin, the law of sin and death, let's try to do things that please God. It's a lot like learning how to walk as a baby. I certainly hope that you parents out there, when your kids were babies, you didn't spank them when they learned how to walk and they'd fall down. You didn't walk over and spank them. I bet you'd said, oh, come on, little junior, little baby, stand up and keep coming, keep on. They fall again. Come on, keep going. That's what Christ does. There's no chastisement. There's no judgment of God on Christians today. But judgment's coming in our works. We'll talk about that later on. There is no chastisement from God today? No, there's not. I have a feeling you better get into that one tomorrow. I'll write that down. We'll look at chastisement tomorrow. You'd be surprised. The things that are happening to us that are not good or like little spankings or punishments, they're not from God. They're the results of us just doing stupid things. Those are the results of those that are here to spy out our liberty and try to get us back into bondage by teaching and preaching us the fear of God, as far as the Bible calls it in Romans 11, the severity of God. That was given to the Jews. I better show you. Romans chapter 11. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. He's talking to the Gentile nation. He's talking to the Gentiles. He's talking about the Jews, where it says severity of God. We don't have to fear the severity of God. We don't have to fear God's wrath. Well, we'll get more on that later on. Just hang in there with me on these things. Okay, so we're looking at Galatians that for the occasion for the flesh. Get back to my pages here. Galatians 5:13. Galatians 5:13, there it is, there we go. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. If you use liberty for an occasion to the flesh, whatever it is you're doing, it'll burn. It could grieve the Spirit of God. It could quench the Spirit eventually, which we'll talk about as time goes on. I always say that because I can't get it all done in one 30-minute session. So occasion for the flesh, just occasion for the flesh. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. Another one here, Romans chapter 14. This is probably the toughest one of all in some respects, although being addicted to something is tough, and wanting to do something that's no edification, but it's just fun, it's a good thing for the flesh, it's all going to burn in the judgment seat of Christ. You know it is, but you're going to do it anyway. You know it doesn't please God, you know this, that, and you're just going to do it anyway, so. That's occasion for the flesh. Here's a tough one, Romans 14, because we just have to choose this one out of our own goodness of our own heart. Romans 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. See, there's that backup on that one. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. See, there's things that we're going to participate in that could cause someone else to be stumbled, could stumble. It says, all things indeed are pure. Eat what you want. And this is an illustration. In other words, do what you want. But it could destroy somebody else because of that, they're weak in the faith. Now, verse 20, it says, for meat, destroy not the work of God. For meat. Not just talking about hamburger meat here. For meat, things that we know we can do because we have the liberty, all things are lawful unto me. But you know, if we do that in front of somebody on purpose, that meat, that thing that we can actually do, it can still destroy the work of God in that person's life. We cause them to stumble. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. All things are lawful unto me, but let's not cause someone else to stumble because of it. Hast thou faith? Do you have your faith? Do you have the faith of Christ? Have it to thyself before God. It's between you and God. And if somebody's going to watch you do something that could cause them to stumble, how many right things can you do based on Paul's teachings of the risen Savior, Romans 2:16, and yet somebody else who has weakened the faith doesn't understand this, all things are lawful, and cause them to stumble? These are what I would call liberty spoilers, in a way, because Christians love to find out all things are lawful unto me. And what they think generally, because they don't read their scriptures to find out the details, they think, well, God loves me, so he doesn't care what I do anymore. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Now I can pretty much do anything because of God's love. I love everybody, da-da-da-da. And so God isn't going to, no, that's not the case. A lot of people do things that God doesn't want me to do it, he'll stop me from doing it. No, he won't. He'll let you do it. And then you'll find out in the judgment seat of Christ, whoops, shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have listened to that, shouldn't have gone there, shouldn't have watched this. God didn't stop you. That doesn't mean it's right. You learn that from the scriptures. And the judgment will come along later at the judgment seat of Christ. You won't be judged, but that thing you did. And if that causes someone else to stumble, that's the way it goes. So our liberty has some strings attached. Well, there you have it. Those are the five strings I call attached to our liberty. Yes, all things are lawful, but you know what? They need to be expedient. If they're not expedient, then you shouldn't be doing that. They should be edifying. There shouldn't be an occasion for the flesh. We shouldn't be brought under the power of whatever it is, and it shouldn't cause someone else to stumble. Now, what usually happens to this liberty, like that verse we read in Galatians, there are people that come in, false brethren, unawares, brought in, to spy out our liberty. They want to bring us back into bondage. Bondage. Well, Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 here for a moment. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. And it says, even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. There was a time that we were under the bondage of the world. Now, we are no longer under that bondage. We are no longer under the bondage of the law. But what happens, these Christians, these preachers, these pastors, these people, these teachers, they try to still put that bondage on us with laws, still. They go back to God's laws. Or, if it's a Paul guy, as I call him, they'll take Paul's teachings and they'll put them on you like bondage. No, you have the liberty. If you want to do that, I wish I could use some illustration, but I don't want to get people all tweaked over that thing. You get in Timothy and Titus about what women should do to please God, what a man can do to please God, what a wife can do to please God, what a husband, a father, a mother. There's things, but they're not bondage. Now, you can reap what you do in those things in this world, down there, no doubt about that. But are they bondage? No, all things are lawful. Oh, but make sure it's expedient. Make sure it's the right thing to do. Edify. See, if you follow these strings, and as a woman, and as a man, and as a husband, and a wife, and a mother, and a father, young people, you will be rewarded in your judgment seat of Christ. God will not chastise you today with that thing. Just wait for the judgment. Just wait for the test to come up. When you're taking a test in school, the teacher doesn't stand above you and go, whoop, that one's wrong. Better fix that one. And then 5 or 6 questions later, whoop, that one's wrong. No, they wait till you're done, turn in the paper, and then you get your grade. And then it's too late to fix them. That's how that works. Now, by the way, non-Christian doesn't even get that test to take. There's just not. We'll talk about a different day here. Romans 8:21 talks about this liberty as a glorious liberty. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Fantastic stuff. Fantastic stuff this liberty is. But then we look at this one thing here. Galatians 4:9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Why do we choose our lost life to do those things that we know are wrong, but we go back and try to do, we go right back into that bondage again. The weak and beggarly elements. That's an amazing thing that we would do such a thing. You know that? So the cup of goodness this morning is the liberty in Christ. The cup of goodness for America is the liberty. And if we look at those five strings from an American standpoint, we can see what's happened to our country. It's an amazing comparison. You can sit down and do that yourself. Compare America as to a Christian. All things are lawful, but, you know, not all things are expedient. Do they edify? Is an occasion for just the flesh because it's just fun to do, even though it's not expedient, even though maybe not edify? You know, it's just fun to do, you know. Not there for the country. It's just something you're just going to do anyway. You want to do it. Not to cause someone else to stumble, and we shouldn't be brought under the power of anything. And when those things take place, we will be rewarded or suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. So have a happy July 4th, and while you're shooting off those fireworks and having those hot dogs and hamburgers and whatever it is you're doing today with your family, not only be thankful for the liberty you have in America, what's left of it, but remember, we still have that liberty in Christ.